Here it is. Filed last night at Burbank City Council meeting, without comment, was a letter from Aubrey Mooring of 1009 Cushman Street complaining about his arrest and requesting the suspension of two officers on the grounds that they are a menace to society and for unlawful use of police powers and that they committed an unlawful assault, search, and seizure. Later in the meeting, Mooring spoke out against the council for members having ignored the complaint but filing it. It turned out, as reported to the council, that Mooring had been picked up for questioning by police in connection with an assault case recently, and when asked for his identification, replied that you are supposed to know me. Mooring said that he had stopped by to see Councilman Darrell Brewington about the matter, and Brewington had said, you know, they had a roundup, to which Mooring addressed the council, what does he think we are, a bunch of cattle? Mooring is a Negro. Brewington took the floor and said that he had referred to the roundup as a police roundup of persons with descriptions fitting the one given the assault by the assault victim. Brewington said that he had also told Mooring that a similar roundup of persons fitting a description had been made of white people at about the same time. Brewington also addressed Mooring and the council, saying that he wanted it made clear that he had no race prejudice at any time, that both should be treated the same. Well, a query by Councilman H.A. Red Boucher regarding the newsletter published once a month by the city administration brought the remark of the evening from City Manager Clifford Nordby. Boucher asked how much it cost the city to publish the letter, which contains information about current city projects and accomplishments. Nordby said he did not know. Boucher said that he had asked him 2 weeks ago. Boucher then asked where the city got its mailing list. Nordby answered that it came from the telephone directory. Boucher then said that this would account for the reason that one person would get several copies. Nordby said yes. Controller Leonard Whitfield explained that it was cheaper with a bulk mailing system to go ahead and put the mail out according to the list than to stop and have someone take the time and expense to screen the list. Bulk mailing goes at a very cheap rate. Boucher asked who put the newsletter out, and Nordby said that Whitfield edited it and Nordby checked it. Brewington asked Whitfield what the last mailing list was, and Whitfield replied that it was 6,000. Again asked how much it cost to put out the newsletter, it was explained by Whitfield that it was equivalent to about 8 man-hours. In other words, one man working for 8 hours. Boucher asked if Nordby felt that the letter was an absolute necessity. Nordby replied, no, but that it was helpful in acquainting the public with what was going on in the city. Whitfield said that the city had received hundreds of phone calls praising the newsletter. Asked if the two men didn't have more important things to do, it was pointed out by them that the work was done on their own time. Brewington asked Nordby then, you aren't hired by the hour? Nordby replied somewhat acidly, if I were hired by the hour, the city couldn't afford me. He got a hand from the gallery. Boucher had almost the last word, but not quite, he thought, and expressed this to the council, that Nordby and Whitfield have enough to do without publishing a newspaper. If we need PR or public relations, let's hire a PR man, he said. Councilwoman Sylvia Ringstead, in a voice firm with conviction, said, we are not hiring any more people for such as this. Mayor Rebar had the last word when he referred to things in general by saying that it would be discouraging if someone didn't like it. More news in just a moment, but first, for Safeway, members looked it over, will meet early Thursday morning to discuss it. But not before Boucher posed a very honest question with regard to the Planning and Zoning Commission's capital expenditure 3-year program that the council has said was unrealistic. Is it or isn't it? Boucher asked. The report from the Planning and Zoning Commission, which reiterated its stand on its capital improvement prognostication, was then filed without acceptance of the proposal by unanimous vote on motion of the council, or Councilman E.M. Ted Cox. I'm not going into details on this tonight. Incidentally, the budget as proposed has a much higher millage rate than the year before. However, the city administration and council members are going to work on this to pare it down. There are several suggested ways that it can be pared down without impairing too much the growth, the capital improvement of the city of Fairbanks. And after the council has had a chance to look at it, and we've had a chance to look at it too, we will talk about it here on KFAR TV Channel 2. This has been done here, and I'd like to take this opportunity to do something toward correcting it. Boucher himself did not complain to me about it. I'd like to set that straight, too. This is my own idea. I did, however, talk with him. Boucher had been given to understand before the meeting of November 6th, through a set of circumstances that may or may not have been deliberate, that money had been budgeted for paving the entire area in which the storm drainage system had been constructed, plus the urban renewal areas, sometimes known as TAR 7 or TAR 7. With this information, Boucher went to the meeting on November 6th. When he read the report that $1.5 million had been budgeted for paving and that it included only the area where the storm drainage system had been put in and not the urban renewal area, he asked a very honest question. Where did the other $500,000 or so go that was necessary to pave the urban renewal? Boucher did not know, and from the information that he had before he went to the meeting, he was quite right in questioning the budget for paving. It was an honest question and a good one. Boucher was not posing a stupid question. He had a very valid reason for it. At the time of the meeting, this reporter had no way of knowing the background of Boucher's reasons for posing the question. Appearances, as we have known in times past, can quite often be somewhat deceiving. Well, Fairbanks's city councilmen and city administration department heads are pondering over the 1962 proposed budget, a huge booklet prepared by the city's finance department, to pay for all of the services desired for next year. A millage rate of some 26 or 26 mills would have to be assessed against the city's taxpayers. However, virtually everyone connected with the budget, including the Planning and Zoning Commission and its capital improvement recommendations, recognizes the fact that the budget must be cut down. It is understood that with a meeting this week held yesterday on Thursday, some paring had been done, coming up with another figure of 20 mills. It was also rumored that a separate estimate had been made previous to this time to fit the 20 mill figure, which is several mills higher even at that than taxes were this year. Some councilmen and others in city government have expressed the opinion that the budget is going to have to be cut somewhat below the 20 mill figure. I'd like to, at the same time, read this letter that was given to the city council on Monday night regarding the Planning and Zoning Commission's stand taken on the capital improvements program. I think we gave that a little bit of a light touch, too, and there are some reasons that may become apparent later as to why. The Planning Commission is charged by the council with the responsibility of preparing a capital improvement program for the city of Fairbanks, projected at least 3 years. It is to present this program by October 1 each year. During the last weeks of September, the commission held several special meetings in order to have the program ready on time, and it was presented to the council on September 29. It was considered by the council at the first meeting in October and continued for further study. The program, when presented the 1st of October, represented what the commission believed to be the most realistic program for the city to follow in the next 6 years. This program was based upon the report of the financial position and projections of income as prepared by the city comptroller. It has been said, the letter that was read and signed by Bud Myers, chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, that the capital improvement program was unrealistic in that it proposed an expenditure of $15 million. This included, however, $5 million already spent through 1961, and $2.9 million deferred past 1967, giving a total of $6.9 million programmed over the next 6 years, of which $3.1 million is for street improvements. For 1962, the commission programmed only $694,000 for capital improvements, which includes $500 in street improvements. It may be pointed out that the capital improvement program is a continuing program and subject to adjustment each year. If the financial situation is not improved by next year at this time, it may be necessary to defer the projects in 1963 until 1964 because the commission cannot recommend deficit spending, which can only result in tax millage increases. The commission has considered deferring the construction of the city administration composite building until the city's financial position improves. This may become a point of contention between some members of the Planning and Zoning Commission and some members of the City Council. We'll have more news in a moment, but first, for Safeway, is Dave Preston.
This is November the 28th, 1961, and this is another news report by Maury Smith of KFAR Radio and KFAR TV.
Last night by Fairbanks City Councilman Darrell Brewington that the council appoint a liaison committee to work with the city's department heads in getting the current city budget of some $2 million pared down met a temporary demise. If a demise can be temporary, at least it was not well enough to get up off the floor at the close of the discussion. Brewington opened the discussion regarding the budget by saying that as he and H.A. Boucher were new to the council, the December 15 deadline was making it difficult for the two new men to study the budget objectively. I was under the impression, he said, that that is what we pay the city manager $17,000 or so a year to do. Brewington felt that the council should visit the city offices to see how the money is spent and what they're buying. In lengthy speech, he said that he was there to see that the taxpayers got the most for the money spent. Boucher said that while he didn't always agree with Brewington, that he thought this idea was a good one. He said that the budget was thrown at us at a late date and there simply was not time to give it real study. He said that this was the first experience with a budget for this sort of thing for him, and it needed considerable study and more time. Councilwoman Sylvia Ringstead, a veteran of the council, said that Boucher and Brewington were facing the same thing that they all had to face when elected to the council for the first time. She said that that was the reason she had advocated holding city elections in April so that new councilmen can become better acquainted with the workings of the city government. Brewington said that had said in Boucher also that the sessions held recently in the budget seemed to be cases where department heads met with the council members to justify their request for money and, as Boucher put it, to wear the council down. City Comptroller Leonard Whitfield took exception to Brewington's remarks with regard to the method of acquainting the council with the budget in a short speech that expressed his irritation last night. The law provides, he said, that my office, me in particular, compile the estimates given to me by department heads. It is then my job to project the expected revenues. There are a great many reasons why the budget was not presented November 1, one of them being that we did not know what the ad valorem taxes would be, and the budget was presented with the understanding that the administration would cut it. Whitfield said that he understood that the budget sessions were for the purpose of informing the council not to do battle. Brewington said he didn't mean to imply that Whitfield was not doing his job, but that he was not taking anybody's word. Boucher told Whitfield that his choice of words in saying that department heads were there to wear down the council was unfortunate, but Boucher stuck to his guns in believing that a more thorough investigation should be made of the request for money. Brewington said that he did not know how many councilmen visited city offices. I know Red does. Sometimes I meet him coming in when I'm going out, Brewington said. To this, Boucher said to Brewington, speak for yourself. The council also heard an announcement that another public hearing on the water extension problem will be held Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock at the Denali School tomorrow night, that is, multipurpose room for the residents of Westgate and Taku to talk over the possibility of water facilities extension. City Attorney Barry Jackson thanked the council for his raise of $75 a month, which brings his salary up to $16,200 a year. He also reported on his Washington trip to the hearing on the Pacific Route case involving a request by Pan American Airways to fly from New York to Fairbanks to Tokyo, 26 flights a week, and said that he was somewhat disappointed in the way the evidence was presented. He also said that a cloud on the hoped-for scheduled completion of the case by next summer had appeared on the horizon, and that was that there may be a complete reshuffle of American routes, airline routes, due to the fact that most of them are not making money and are suffering from competition with foreign airlines. He said that this matter could delay the Pacific Route case for as much as 2 or 3 years. If everything should go smoothly, it looks as if possibly something could be done and the airlines in operation by either next summer or next fall, unless something comes along to upset it. Dave, I think I'm running over time here just a minute. Here for Safeway is...
That is the council's report by Maury Smith on his hometown reporter, November 28, 1961.
Paul assured he had been advised by the Fort Wainwright Command that the base power plant could supply up to 2,000 kW during peak load periods and up to 5,000 kW during the periods of low consumption. This, Nardby said, would only be a stopgap, not a solution to the future power problem of this area. The council approved a resolution giving the municipal utilities manager the go-ahead to apply for federal money for engineering and preliminary studies for water extension, transferred a liquor license, and approved a deed. Three ordinances were heard and advanced to public hearing next Monday night, and a third building ordinance was tabled. The council put in the second reading the budget ordinance without the school budget last night. Reason given by City Comptroller Leonard Whitfield upon request of Councilman Darrell Brewington was that the school district had not received its appropriation from the state as to its share in the cost of operating the schools. The budget calls for expenditures of a little over $8 million for the city, which includes over $3 million for the utility system, entirely covered by revenues. The council still has some paring to do and will meet Wednesday morning to go over it again. No indication was given at last night's meeting of what the millage rate will be. This cannot, of course, be set until the budget for the school district is approved. Northern Linen Supply, which had applied for a waiver of a year in a zoning ordinance, formally withdrew its request and did not give any particular reason to the council last night. The city manager also reported last night that Governor William A. Egan had made available to the city of Fairbanks one half the cost of the two trips of the city attorney Barry Jackson to Washington, D.C. to intervene for the city and state in the Pacific Route case, which includes PAA's proposed New York-Fairbanks-Tokyo run. And Councilman Brewington last night proposed a motion, which was okayed by the council, to waive the parking meter fees on Saturday preceding Christmas in order to give the residents of Fairbanks from the city a Christmas present. However, it was pointed out that still the hour parking limit stands regardless of whether any money goes in the meter. Cracked Wilbur Walker, councilman, yeah, let's have a holiday on taxes next year. And the city also heard that the cab driver's ordinance, which has been taken under advisement, will come up probably next Monday night. Recommendations for changes will be made by the transportation, the city's transportation committee, and Barry Jackson will probably draft an ordinance for these changes for next Monday in time for cab drivers who would not be eligible under the present ordinance for cab licenses next year, 1962, could possibly be eligible for them at the beginning of the year. Well, Chairman, of last month's Inupiat First Grade Gathering of Eskimos in Point Barrow has urged Commissioner Philio Nash of the Bureau of Indian Affairs to retain James E. Hawkins as Area Director for Alaska. Hawkins is scheduled to be replaced by Robert Bennett of Aberdeen and South. At the Traveler's Inn. The speaker will be Dr. Henry Plotkin of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. And Barry Jackson will also talk on his trip to Washington on the Pacific Route case, and a report of the Kotzebue Native Hospital dedication will be given today, too. Regular meeting of the Fairbanks JCs will be held this evening at 7:30 in a change of meeting place. It will be held in the basement of the Chamber of Commerce log cabin, and ordinarily this would be Wise Night, but this has been postponed. There will be no dinner held tonight.
Fairbanks, citing, of course, the one small cell that is used for the boys and the women's station for the women. Conditions are deplorable, Pfeiffer said, as he moved to the courtroom blackboard to outline a plan that he said would cost the city only a few $100s. Pfeiffer suggested that the building now housing the engineering staff of the city, when it is vacated, be remodeled with a few $100s worth of materials, some scrounged furniture and facilities for entertainment, and used to detain both male and female youths who are up for detention. Pfeiffer called the facility coeducational, and this may be a little play on words, however, it might be associated with the need for rehabilitation of youth. At any rate, with the concurrence of the chief of police, Stanley Zaverill, Pfeiffer suggests that dormitories be built, one for the girls and one for the boys, and that they share a common day room. Supervision at all times is a key to this, Pfeiffer said. Youth detained must have something constructive to do, and he added a case where recently a boy had been burned across his chest by other inmates of the present small, ill-fitted detention facility. The facility is supported for city youth, one half by the state and one half by the city. For out-of-town youth, the full cost is borne by the state, which means that other towns without detention facilities could send their problem children to the Fairbanks detention facility. H.A. Redbacher, councilman, said that he had seen the present facilities and stated, quote, that they're a damn disgrace. And we would agree with him, of course. Well, other matters in the city council last night, I heard city manager Clifford Nordby report that should Fairbanks in the future come up with a power shortage with no immediate solution, that the Fort Wainwright power plant could, at peak periods, offer 2,000 kW, and at periods of slack productivity at the base out here could go as high as 5,000. Norby pointed out that this was only a stopgap measure and not a solution to any future power problem. Well, the council put in the second reading the budget ordinance last night without the school budget. This will come up for public hearing next Monday night, and we understand that there are going to be some interest shown in this by some citizens here in Fairbanks, which we think is good. Reason given by City Comptroller Leonard Whitfield upon request of Councilman Darrell Brewington was that the school district had not received its appropriation, so to speak, from the state as to its share in the cost of operating the schools here in Fairbanks. The budget calls for expenditures of something over $8 million, which includes over $3 million for the utility system entirely covered by revenues. The City Council still has some praying to do and will meet tomorrow morning to go over it again. No indication was given at last night's meeting of what the millage rate will be. And of course, this cannot be set in its entirety, at least for both the city operation and the school district until the school budget allocation is made. We might add just a couple of odds and ends to this. If you think the city of Fairbanks isn't big business, here is the budget right here as amended by the city council on its workover. That's quite a job, and it represents a lot of time, much of it donated time, I might add, on the part of councilmen. Incidentally, out of that $8 million, which includes, as we said, the internal revenue, includes the municipal utility system, $3,100,000 of that is paid in wages. That includes both the municipal utilities and the city. Might also add that over $500,000 goes to debt service, which might point up the high cost of living beyond our means. Whether it's necessary or not, at least it is a high cost. That's a debatable point. other matters last night, the council approved the recommendation of the Elks Club that it be allowed to have until December 31 to bring its sales tax up current and provide for a regular monthly payment to be made thereafter in order for them to have their 1962 liquor license for the bar and the lawns there in the Elks Club. There were some other odds and ends, too, that we didn't take up Saturday before Christmas. On motion of Darrell Brewington, the parking meters downtown will be closed to nickels and pennies, and people will be invited to shop without having to pay for the parking. However, there still is the one-hour provision for parking in any one place. Also, we might add, too, that Wilbur Walker had a little something to say about this, too, in his own way. That was, he said, if we're going to have a holiday on something like that, how about a holiday next year on taxes? The cab driver's ordinance, which has been under fire now for several weeks by the city council and other persons, will get it going over probably next Monday evening. The transportation committee has come up with some recommended changes, and these will be considered possibly with an ordinance drawn by the city attorney in time for Monday night's consideration, in order that some cab drivers who will not be able to operate under the present ordinance next year may possibly be able to do so. But that will come up for consideration. It hasn't been definitely settled as yet. The Uniform Housing Code for 1961 was tabled last night for further information, and the approval of the General Neighborhood Renewal Plan was given last night by the council. There were three small changes in it, notably along Barnett Street with regard to the Barnett School and also the main school enlarged area. And Olga Steger, who has been serving on the Advisory Committee for Urban Renewal, tendered her resignation last night to the council, which was accepted, saying that she did not have the time that the committee required and should have to devote to it, and ask that she be let off the committee. And the council thanked her for her services so far. We have more news in just a moment again, but first for Safeway, here is Dave Preston.
Thank you very much, Maury. We're just going to very briefly tell you that you can stop into the Safeway store, stop into the bakery department, and take advantage of the French apple pies on special for just 69 cents each. Now, these are terrific. We took some home last night, and believe me, my little ones devoured them in nothing flat. We also would like to tell you from the produce department to prepare, of course, for your Christmas meals. You can serve candied Gold Rush yams or sweet potatoes for just 19 cents a pound. And something to freeze for Christmas at this very low price is cranberries, just 19 cents a package. And before we leave, we'd like to mention once again the fine Empress Preserves. Now on special at Safeway, this is an in-the-store special, a full 28-ounce jar, just 69 cents. Something you certainly won't want to miss out on. Very good for the children's lunches and everything. And also, of course, the 2-pound box of Busy Baker Fig Bars, just 47 cents. These come in both the white and the whole wheat, which are very terrific. As things turn out, we had never tried them before, but we have now, and believe me, they are wonderful. So for Safeway, that's about what we have for you this evening. We'll turn it back over to Maury now to wrap things up, and see you again tomorrow night in the Safeway Savings Corner.
Dave, can I wrap up some of the jelly? I'm just kidding, Dave. One more item before we close off this evening. The chairman of last month's Inupiat First Great Gathering, the Eskimos at Point Barrow, has urged Commissioner Filio Nash of the Bureau of Indian Affairs to retain James E. Hawkins as Area Director for Alaska. Hawkins is scheduled to be replaced by Robert Bennett, formerly Assistant Area Director at Aberdeen, South Dakota. In a letter to Nash, Guy Okakok, chairman of the group, said Hawkins always worked closely with Eskimo villages and understands the problems of Alaska Natives. Okakok's letter was signed by each of the delegates to the convention from some 25 villages from Bethel to Barker Island.
This is the end of Maury Smith news for December the 5th, 1961, Tuesday evening. A report on the council here. And then that's the end of this recording.
Well, last night passed the ordinance setting the budget for 1962 at $7,991,095 for the city administration and the municipal utilities function. The latter is $3,824,000 entirely covered by revenue from the utilities. This apparently has been somewhat a misleading sort of an arrangement, because heretofore the city budget has been presented only as a city budget without the utilities and not combined. Part of the reason for it being combined this year is the fact that a lot of the bookwork, comptroller, and so on has combined the services for the utilities and the city, which, of course, put the thing in one particular budget. However, before the budget was passed last night, a number of Fairbanksons appeared to speak at the public hearing held on behalf of the budget. Opposition was voiced by a few in the gallery to the cutting of the requested Park, Recreation, and Cemetery Board budget, which had the highest percentage increase of any request for funds over last year's of any department in the city. We'll go to that in just a moment. First appearing as a representative of the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors was Clifford Berglund, who prefaced his remarks last night by saying that he was sorry that the board had not taken time previously to look into the budget and work with the council on it. They had not had time to go over it. They had not taken the time, but in the future he promised they would. He did ask for two, three explanations, which were given, one by Councilman Darrell Brewington, which seemed to satisfy the statement. However, he promised that in the future the board of directors of the chamber would work a little more closely with the city on such things as the budget. And Councilman Sylvia Ringstead commended Berglund for making his appearance last night at the council meeting. He was accompanied by Tom Downs of the board also. Well, coming down to the Park, Recreation, and Cemetery Commission, I'm going to go through this rather detailed here, and a lot of it's going to have to be off the top of my head. Jim Bischoff, who is the commission head and succeeded H.A. Red Boucher, present councilman and former head of the commission, and Tom Pasquin, Jr., a member of the commission newly appointed this past fall, they were frequently applauded by supporters in the audience, about three or four, as I could count, not a whole audience, but about three or four people continually applauded the speeches made by these two gentlemen. Bischoff told the council that originally they had requested $66,000 for the Park, Recreation, and Cemetery Commission, and that the administration, in working over the budget, had cut this down to a matter of $55,000. The council cut it still further to $45,000, and then Bischoff told the group last night that he understood that an amendment had been prepared before the ordinance was to be passed that would cut it further to $35,000, and this, of course, was quite true. And Bischoff said then that he did anticipate that the public was going to scream loud and long, as he put it, when they found out that this appropriation was cut thusly, and still an appropriation of $38,000 had been made for the new records and identification section of the city police department. And he made the offer of a suggestion that a percentage of reduction in the budget be applied to other areas in the same manner as with recreation. And I'll explain this later, that he was informed that there had been some cuts made in other areas as well as his. The councilman and mayor, Bischoff said, approved the hiring of a recreational director because they felt that he was important to the city's growth. And I hope you don't give him nickels and dimes and then make him run errands. Well, Councilman H.A. Redbaucher, former commission head, in a very sincere discourse explained the facts of life to Bischoff, and I think quite thoroughly and I think quite finally. I worked hard on the commission, and the recreation program is dear to my heart, Boucher said. However, as a councilman, I must look at the whole picture, and that's completely understandable. We have set up the budget for recreation. Other departments vital to the community have been cut, and we're going to have to live with this. I know that this is a workable program. Speaking of the recreation program, Dick Strait, the recreational director for the city, was told when we hired him that he would have to tackle many kinds of jobs, wear many hats, just as I do and other business people do, conduct their own businesses and don't have a lot of money to toss around. Boucher explained that besides the $35,000 that the Park, Recreation, and Cemetery Commission was getting, there are items in the capital improvements program for the city that are directly connected with the recreation program. Boucher named these: $3,000 for Griffin Park restrooms, $3,000 for a Falcon Park fence and backstop, $2,000 for seeding the ball fields. This includes also seeding of parks and the cemetery itself. $3,000 for restrooms at Memorial Park, and the $20,000 that has been set up for the sanitary field of the old city dump when that is abandoned. This will be used, he said, for recreational purposes. So the $35,000 was set up for the recreation park and the cemetery is implemented by these capital improvements. We must have facilities, and along with these, since money is limited, we will use the very fine financial assistance given by business people and the volunteer labor by organizations and just plain citizens. At the end of the discussion, Bischoff wanted to know again about the $10,000 that was going to be lopped off of the amendment, and Boucher said that, in effect, they did have a workable program. He said he knew he could make it work, and said there's a question whether or not it could be made to work. Boucher said, we will get someone who can make it work. A few other little sidelights in connection with this, too, we might point out, and that is that the city recreational director had asked for an assistant, which Boucher felt that due to the fact that funds were limited was not necessary, that he could do many of the jobs himself that an assistant would be doing. He also pointed out that there were two assistants proposed in this city budget. One was for the recreation director and one for the city manager. Both were cut out. The city manager didn't get his either. He also pointed out that they had asked for uniform allowances for apparently ball players and so on, and said that Mr. Strait would probably like to have the youngsters go around with uniforms reading Fairbanks Recreation Program, which would be, excuse me, of course, very nice, but one of the things that we cannot now afford. Councilman Ted Cox pointed out that the Park and Recreation Commission had asked for a 60% increase over last year, the highest of any city department. He pointed out that the fire department had taken the biggest cut from last year's appropriation. And, of course, the fire department, he said, is as vital to our lives here in the community as just about anything else, as well as police and so on. Also, too, in connection with this, we might add that the $18,000 was set up for the crypt at the Fairbanks Cemetery at Birch Hill as a very necessary thing. This has been considered now for the past 2 years, at least that I know of, and is something that has been needed and is something that we should and do owe to our debt. We'll come back to the budget in a minute if we have more time. Apparently we're using more than we should. But first, for Safeway, let's listen to Dave Preston.